if you could ask God for one thing and God said, I'll grant it, what would you ask him for? We do not realize how important wisdom is. See, all the problems in your life and in my life come from a lack of wisdom.
I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
It is great to see you here. Next Sunday, live your calling. Got to be here. It's going to be the most important message series that we've done in the last decade. It's going to get us all on the same page moving forward. 2019 is going to be the best year in the history of our church. Got to be here. We'll be covering 6 messages. You're going to have the chance in your small group to hear a video clip related to each message by Rick Warren. Rick Warren's the guy who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. So you're going to get to hear that. You're going to be able to read, have a daily devotional time where you're going to read from the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Worth reading, very much so worth reading type of thing. We're going to memorize some verses together. You want to be here, you want to be in a group. And by the way, we are doing this for every age group. Our students, our youth are doing The Purpose-Driven Life, kind of what we're doing in their services. Our children are getting the same message series in their lessons as well, obviously on their age level on that. So this is an all-church thing. Now this morning, I want to ask you the I Dream of Jeannie question. The I Dream of Jeannie question is this. If you could ask God for one thing and God said, I'll grant it, what would you ask him for? If you came to God and said, or God came to you and said, hey, I'll give you one wish if you would, one request, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do it for you. What would you ask for? Did you know that actually happened? There's a recorded in the Bible where God came to a man named Solomon and he said to Solomon, Solomon, ask me whatever you want, whatever it is, I'm going to grant it. What would you ask for? Long life, fewer problems, better marriage, good health. What would you ask for? Well, here is what Solomon asked for. This is not on your outline, but it is on the screen. This is found in 1 Kings 3, chapter 9. Solomon didn't ask for wisdom. He didn't ask for money, power, long life. Here's what he asked for. So give me what? Wisdom. Give me wisdom I need to rule your people with justice and to know the difference between good and evil. Otherwise, how would I be able to rule this great people of yours? I want you to know God was so impressed with his answer. He said, not only will I make you the wisest man who ever lived, I'm going to give you things you did not ask for. And here's what he went on and he said to Solomon. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, and so he said to him, because you have asked for wisdom to rule justly instead of long life for yourself or riches or the death of your enemies. Takes a moment for the slide to flip to the next one. I will do what you have asked. I will give you more wisdom and understanding than anyone who has ever had before or will ever have again. But notice verse 13. I will also give you what you have not asked for. What did he not ask for? All your life you will have wealth and honor, more than that of any other king. And if you obey me and keep my laws and commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Here's the first fill in the blank on your message outline. We do not realize how important wisdom is. Today, we do not realize how important wisdom is. It is the key to everything else you and I want in life. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, we are told this. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing else you could ever want is as valuable. Now, look at that first phrase. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Have you ever heard that phrase before? I read that and I've never heard that. I've heard wisdom is more important than like gold or silver or diamonds. Why did he put rubies on there? Today, if you went out on the open market, here's some gold. You can buy an ounce of gold for $1,288. That's a gold coin. It's 1 ounce right there. You can do that. You can go buy a diamond, a carat diamond. Ladies, that's a pretty good size ring, isn't it? A full carat. Depending on the cut and clarity of that, that's going to run you anywhere from $900 to $41,000. On the other hand, if you get a fine-cut ruby, it's going to be over $100,000. I had no idea that rubies were that expensive, that type of thing. But that's why God says wisdom is more precious than rubies, more precious than you and I can imagine. Wisdom is that, so is that important to us. Here's what God is saying to us. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, in fact, let's read this verse out loud together. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. So what is wisdom? Most people say, well, wisdom is if you're really, really smart. No, that's not wisdom. Look at this, fill in the blank. Wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. That's wisdom. Seeing life, seeing things from God's point of view. Wisdom is not necessarily knowledge. You can get knowledge in a lot of places. You can be very knowledgeable and not be wise. Do you know people like that? You can get a great education and not be wise. So they're not the same things. Fortunately for us, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, wrote a book about his wisdom. And it's found in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. It's referred to as the Book of Proverbs, a collection of wisdom sayings about life. And it has wisdom about life and relationships and money and time and business. I want to read to you the opening sentences of the book of Proverbs. Here they are. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. These are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. The purpose of these proverbs is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Through these proverbs, people will receive instruction in discipline, good conduct, what is right, just, and fair. They give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to young people. Let those who are wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the depth of meaning in these proverbs, parables, wise sayings, and riddles. Throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, we are encouraged. God stresses the importance of wisdom. It is a must-have in life. Proverbs 9:12. Let's read this verse out loud together, please. If you become wise, you'll be the one to benefit. But if you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Fill in for you. Virtually all the problems in your life and in my life come from a lack of wisdom. You say, well, I don't get that. Because we make foolish decisions. We make foolish decisions. Some of you are in financial trouble today because you would have to look back and say, I made some really stupid decisions in finance. I lacked wisdom in that matter. Some of you have relational problems. It's because you made bad or foolish decisions in those relationships, and you're suffering the consequences from that. It was a lack of wisdom. Proverbs 14:12 tells us this. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. So he's saying to us, there's times when you and I approach life and we look at it and we say, man, this is the right thing to do. But because we lack wisdom, it is not the right thing. And it ends in disaster. So we need wisdom in our life. We get in trouble without it. If you get wisdom, you're going to benefit from it. You will have fewer problems. You will have more success in life. What I want to do on your outline now is give you just a little taste of some of the benefits Scripture says wisdom will give you. We're going to look at 9 Bible verses. There are going to be 18 different things listed that are a benefit of acquiring wisdom. You don't have to write anything as far as a fill in the blank, but I do want you to underline the benefits as we go through them. 18 of them in 9 verses. So here we go. These verses are on your outline, so you can look at them, and then they'll be on the screen as well. So here's the first one, Proverbs 24:14. It tells us this, wisdom is good for the soul. That's one benefit. You might want to underline that. Get wisdom, and you will have a bright future. That's the second one. You want a bright future? You need wisdom. The next verse is Proverbs 19:8. Proverbs 19:8 says, those who get wisdoms do themselves a favor, and those who love learning, here's the third benefit, will succeed. You want success in life? You need wisdom. Proverbs 4:8 tells us this, treasure wisdom, and it will make you great. It will make you great. You want your life to matter? Want to be great? Wisdom, hold on to it, and it will bring you what? Honor. It will bring you honor. That's another benefit. Proverbs 9:11. Wisdom will multiply your days. That's a benefit. And add years to your life. You want to live longer? You need wisdom. That's a great benefit for us. Here's the next verse, Proverbs 24:5. Wise people have great power. You want to have influence. You need wisdom. Proverbs 3:35. Wise people have an honorable reputation. An honorable reputation. The wiser you are, most cases you're better liked. You're certainly more honored. You're more honored. And then Proverbs 15:24. Proverbs 15:24 says, wise people's lives, look at this, here's a benefit, get better and better. You know one reason they get better and better? You don't make the same foolish mistakes. We get better. We get better. And then in Proverbs 3:16-18, there are seven benefits listed in these couple of verses right here. So let's look at them. Wisdom will offer you, here's the first one, long life, as well as wealth, there's another one, and honor, there's another one. Wisdom can make your life pleasant, there's another benefit on that, and lead you safely through it, there's a benefit to get you through life type of thing. Those who become wise are happy, there's a benefit. Wisdom will give them life, true life. What if we did an infomercial late at night and we came out and said, we got a product and here's what, you get this product, here's what it's going to do for you. You're going to have long life, wealth, honor, you're going to have a pleasant life, you're going to be able to navigate through life well, you're going to be happy, you're going to have true life. That you couldn't come off, it wouldn't come off the shelf fast enough, right? People say, I want that. Well, God says if you get wisdom, you get that. You get wisdom, that's what you're going to have. And then here's one last verse, Proverbs 4:12. Tells us this, nothing will stand in your way. Nothing will stand in your way. That's a benefit if you walk wisely, and you will not stumble when you run. You're going to be able to reach your dreams, your goals, better with wisdom. Can you begin to get a sense of how important wisdom is in your life and why we need to make wisdom a goal that we pursue after? But like everything else, look at this fill-in. Wisdom is a choice. Wisdom is a choice that we make, just like happiness is a choice. Being close to God is a choice. You've got to learn to be wise. But there are so many benefits to wisdom, we would think, well, why wouldn't we want to be wise? Why wouldn't we want that? Well, one reason is it's hard. It's hard to be wise. And today what we're going to look at five ways to build wisdom into our lives. Five ways to build wisdom into our lives. Proverbs 4:5 tells us this. There it is. Learn to be wise. It doesn't just come naturally. You have to learn to be wise and to develop good judgment. That's a choice. That's a choice. Learn to be wise. It is your choice. It is my choice. So let's look at these five ways to build wisdom into our life. Here's the first one. If you want to be wise, you need to listen to God's word every day. You need to listen to God's word every day. Not just listen to TV, the radio, or your iPhone, your music on your iPhone type of thing. You need to listen to God. Why? Because God is the originator of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, so we got to listen to God. Proverbs 1:7 in the Message, which is not a literal translation of the Bible, it is a paraphrase, but I love how they paraphrase Proverbs 1:7. Start with God. You start with God. The first step is learning to bow down to God. It's referring to reverence, honor God, listen to Him. And then in Proverbs 9:10, we find this. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that verse says fear of the Lord. Do you think it means that you and I, God wants us to walk around cowering like God's going to, you know, I'm going to do something wrong. He's going to strike me down with a lightning bolt. No, fear here is referring to respect. Honor God. Realize who He is. Learn from God. That's what He's talking about. It is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 2:6. And notice virtually every verse we're going to use today is from the book of Proverbs, folks. This is a book of wisdom. Proverbs 2:6. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From Him come knowledge and understanding. You don't get it from TV. You don't get it from the internet. You don't get it from magazines. Wisdom comes from God. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? How many of you believe everything you read on the internet? How many of you believe everything you hear on the newscast? You hear it on TV. Do you believe that? Well, no. How many of you would say, I believe what God says in His Word? Many of us would say that. Yeah, I do. Why is it that we spend so much time listening and reading things that we don't believe in and not so much time in what we do believe in that gives us the truth? It's not logical sometimes how we operate. How do I get God's word into my life, listen to it every day? Fill in. You must establish the habit of a daily, what we refer to as a quiet time. It's just a few moments alone with God, to touch base with God and gain insight from God. Now, here's the good thing about this. We're all going to be participating in Live Your Calling, and we're all going to be reading through this book. You say, well, Pastor Rich, you got two books. Well, really, this was the original version. So if you have this, you already have the book. You don't need to buy another one. This came out a few, 2 or 3 years ago, kind of an updated version. Updated means that Rick Warren added 2 chapters. Don't buy the new book if you've got this one. We Xerox the 2 chapters to give to you, so you have a complete book. But here's what's going to happen. This is composed of 42 devotionals. And beginning next Sunday, which is day one of our campaign, so to speak, you're going to be asked each day, read day one. It's a devotional. It's about 6 pages. I am trying to stay 1 week ahead of you, all right? So I've already started going back and reading this book again. I read the first chapter, and I thought, there is so much insight and wisdom in those first 6 pages. It's just like, wow. I mean, I need to read that every month, just those first 6 pages. You are going to be blessed. If you get nothing out of the messages, if you read this book, it can impact your life greatly, because he talks about the 6 purposes that we're going to be talking about, what you'll be talking about in your small group. He talks about them in the book, section by section, okay? So you want to make sure you pick up a copy of this today, and make sure next week you and I, we're going to begin reading that together. So we're going to build into your life very quickly how to get God's word into your life. Proverbs 15:14 tells us this: a wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. Now, by trash here, he's referring to what we allow into our lives, not so much physically, but intellectually, spiritually. You can get truth into your life, or you can fill your life with trash. One of the two, he's saying. It's like the old computer adage, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Now look at this next fill in the blank, because unfortunately, this is so prevalent in our society and has been for decades. You and I can become so desensitized to evil, it doesn't bother us anymore. We get so used to things now that are wrong, and a lot of them, you know, should really bother us, and they don't. We're just totally desensitized to them. Now, let me just give you two examples of this, one of them pretty innocuous. How many of you ever see a movie now that doesn't have profanity in it? Unless it's a Disney or, you know, a cartoon for kids, you know? That was not always the case. In fact, it wasn't the first time a cuss word was used in a movie, but it was the first time it really made a big splash. It was in 1939 of all times. It was a movie, Gone with the Wind. Seen Gone with the Wind? 4-hour movie, all right? But it's voted the 4th greatest movie ever produced in the world, Gone with the Wind. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing. In that movie, at the end, the Clark Gable, if my mom, she was a heartthrob for her. So Clark Gable, you know, and he was the star guy. He was Rhett Butler in Gone with the Wind. And Scarlett O'Hara was the woman who loved him. And at the very end, as he's leaving her, she's begging him, don't go. He frankly looks at her and says, frankly, my girl, I don't give up. And he used the words, begins with a D. And I'm going to tell you, that caused outrage in America. He cussed on a movie. I read about that. One of two things happened. Either they paid a $5,000 fine in 1939 for using the cuss word on the screen, or they got special permission in advance to have that, to do that. I read different articles. I don't know which one's true. I also heard this. Clark Gable demanded extra money to say that cuss word on the film. That's how taboo it was in that day. And today, now, it's like we're just so desensitized. That's just like normal, everyday talk. Let me give you another example. This one strikes a little bit closer to home. When people began living together and they weren't married. Oh, I don't know about where you grew up, but I can tell you right now, where I grew up, did you know they're living together now, they're not married. Oh, wow. Today, sadly, more people live together than get married. That's our society. And when that first happened, we were like, oh. Now it's kind of like, so what? We're desensitized. It's the frog in the kettle syndrome. What? Let me show you. This is not a frog. Our preschool didn't have a frog. We're anti-frog here. This is the best they had. So it's green. Okay, pretend this is a frog. Okay, frog. This is a pot of hot boiling water. Little Froggy comes jumping along, and Froggy jumps in the hot boiling water. What is Froggy going to do? Pew! He ejects. Why? It's hot water. Wow. It's just like when you and I hear these first ripples of moral values in our society that are getting you. We go, wow. And we go, wow, that's not right. Here's what happens, though. Little Froggy comes along. This is just a pot of water, not boiling water. Froggy gets in. Froggy loves the water. Oh, this is good. And now all of a sudden, you cut on the Bunsen burner underneath it. And Froggy says, it's warm water. Oh, I love warm water. Don't you love a warm bath? Oh, this is so fun. Froggy just stays in. His body adjusts until finally it reaches boiling point. And Froggy is still in. And now you have boiled frog legs. Froggy dies in the boiling pot of water. Why? Because he got acclimated to it over time. This is what's right, this is normal. And that's exactly what's happened to you and me spiritually and morally and ethically in the United States of America and many of the ethical issues that we face today. We are desensitized to it. We don't even think anything about it anymore. Look at the next fill in the blank. Wise people protect their minds. Wise people protect their minds. In other words, they guard what they watch. They guard what they listen to. They guard what they influence. Have you ever heard this? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. What you and I allow into our minds begins this process of reaping a destiny. It matters what goes into our lives and our minds. Look at this fill-in. You see, a lot of things aren't necessarily wrong. They're not necessarily wrong. I mean, it's not wrong to read something or watch some of these types of things. They're just not necessary. They're just not necessary. There's nothing wrong with junk food. Except, let me clarify that for parents. The parents go, no, don't you dare say that. There's nothing wrong with junk food, except there's no nutritional value. There's no nutritional value in it. How many of you grew up where your mother or father would say to you, especially your mom, don't fill up with junk, it will ruin your dinner, right? Because they're saying, listen, the dinner's where you get your fruits and your vegetables and the protein you need, not in the Twinkies and the chocolate chip cookies that I love so much. You know, that type of a thing. That's junk food. Not that it's bad per se. There's just no nutritional value in it. Spiritually speaking, the same thing can happen to us. Look at the fill-in. You can stuff your mind with stuffing, things that have no real value, and you have no hunger for the truth. It can happen to us. The wise person feeds on the truth. It's brain food. It's nutritional food. It is soul food. We need a daily time of consuming the truth from God. Here's a second way we build wisdom into our life. You need to enlist friends that challenge you. You need to enlist friends that challenge you. This is why being in a small group is so, so important. Folks, if you want to soar with the eagles, you can't run with the turkeys. All right? Just kidding. It doesn't work that way type of thing. You need friends in your life who will build you up, who are wise, who you hang out with. Look at the fill-in. You grow in community and in connection with other people. You grow in community and in connection with other people, not by yourself. That's why small groups are so important. That's why right now we're trying to guilt you into being in a small group for the next 6 weeks, all right? We try not to guilt you in a lot of things. I will guilt you if I can into being in a small group. It is that important for you to do that. You could be a monk or you could be a nun. You could go away and live in a monastery, live by yourself. You may grow in knowledge, but you probably are not going to grow very much in wisdom because wisdom shows up primarily in relationships. Again, we've already said this. You can have all kinds of educational degrees and have your relationships falling apart. You can be very, very smart, very educated, and yet not be wise. You can actually look at a person and see who they hang out with, and you can determine if they're wise or not just by the people that they are hanging out with. Look at the fill-in. The quality of your life, the quality of my life will largely be determined by the people you choose to keep close to you. So who are you choosing to keep close to you? Enlist people who challenge you. 1 Corinthians 15:33, we've seen this verse many times through the years here at New Hope, but look at it. Don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will do what? They'll destroy you. Now, here's what that's saying. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to wind up in jail. But here's what it does mean. Your life is not going to be one of significance. Your life's really not going to matter. It's not that you're going to be in jail per se, but it's going to mean your life really doesn't have significance. Proverbs 13:20. Let's read this out loud, please. Spend time with the wise and you will become wise, but the friends of fools suffer. Who is in your life right now giving input for God? Who is in your life giving you, influencing you for good on a regular basis? For the next 6 weeks, I am urging, imploring you, be part of a group. Now, the number one reason that people say, I can't be in a group, I'm too busy. Let me ask you this question. If you made fewer mistakes, would you have more time? Probably so. I don't know how much of my time I spend cleaning up the mess from my foolish mistakes. So if you join a small group and get the collective wisdom of that group, you're going to make fewer mistakes. You will buy your time back and get more added benefit. All right? So we just eliminated the I'm too busy excuse. Okay, this is actually on your outline. Here's the question. Would you have more time if you made fewer mistakes in life? And the answer is yes. Get in a group. Proverbs 12:15 tells us, fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others. So how do I get wisdom? I need to have that time with God. He's the source of wisdom. I need to enlist other people in my life to help me in that process as well. Here's a third way we get wisdom into our life. Ask questions and accept correction. I want you just to look at the people around you. Just don't look at them really weird or anything, but just look at the people around you. Look at them. Every person sitting by you is an expert. They are in some area of life. Every person you're sitting by is an expert in some area of life. It may be canning tomatoes. It may be growing a vegetable garden. It may be in electronics. It could be in music. But every person around you is an expert in one or more areas. Now, how do you get their expertise? You've got to learn to ask the right questions. And so that's the next fill in the blank. Everyone has something to teach you, but you must draw it out by asking smart questions. Proverbs 20, verse 5 tells us that people's thoughts can be like a deep well, but someone with understanding can find the wisdom there. It's almost like if you went to a well, there's water in that well, but the water does no good in the well to you, does it? You have to drop the bucket in and draw it out, and then you benefit from it. The people around you are like a deep well. There's wisdom there, but you have to drop it in and, pull it out. How do you do that? You got to learn to ask smart questions. You can learn from anyone if you learn to ask the right questions. Proverbs 18:15 tells us this. Oh, and by the way, before we get to that verse. Back in October, our staff every year, we go up to North Coast Church, a great church, massive church up in North County, and they do a two-day conference called Sticky Teams. And so we go to that, and we carry like 12 of our staff members, had a great time. Ladies, this is the one conference, if you ever get an invite to go, you want to go because there are no lines in your bathrooms. Because the people at the conference, the guys outnumber the ladies probably like 6 or 7 to 1. So when it's a break time, the guys are lining up to go in the bathroom. Ladies, you just walk right on in type of a thing. And so I am waiting in line during one of the breaks to go to the bathroom. I'm about 18, 20 people deep to get in the bathroom. I have on an Alabama polo shirt with the A, the inscripted Alabama A on it, and then the word Alabama on the back. And somebody's behind me, and all of a sudden I hear this voice says, oh, are you from Alabama? I'm like, well, yes, I am. And he said, well, I have Southern roots, too, and I'm an Alabama fan. Oh, you just stole my heart. I'm a graduate of Alabama. Oh, yeah. This is getting better by the moment. And we were talking and that type of thing. And so I asked him, I said, what church are you here with? And he said the name of the church. And I said, is your pastor part of the mentoring group with Larry Osborne? Because every month I go up to North Coast, and I'm part of a pastor mentoring group led by Larry Osborne. It's fantastic. And he said, yeah. I said, I know your pastor. And he goes, oh, man, that's so neat. And so then I asked him, I said, well, how did you get out to California? You know, and he said, well, I think if I'm not mistaken, his wife had some California connections, maybe family anyway, so he's out here. And I said, well, what do you do? He said, well, I used to produce records. Oh, I lived in Nashville for years and years and then lived up in North Carolina, and I produced Christian artist records. Virtually any, if you listen to Christian music, I could probably say their name, and this guy would say, oh, I produced a record. I produced this record. I went, really? He says, yeah, I'm now at this new church, which again, I know of the church. It's a fast-growing church, great church, dynamic church. And he says, I'm the director of technical, all the technical stuff at the church. Like sound and stuff, lights. Yeah, that's what I do. Really? Huh. So I said to him, I said, hey, if we ever had some needs at our church, you know, to evaluate our sound and our lighting, I said, would you be willing to? Yeah, I'd be willing to. I said, great. Well, we're in the middle of a process with our staff. I've mentioned this to you before. We spent the last, going on 3 months now, evaluating every aspect of our church, getting things really, we got to go in the right direction here, turn around year in 2019 type of a thing. Well, one of the things that came up was evaluating our staging, our lighting, our sound, and all like that. We need some people to come in to do that. And I thought, what about the guy in North, you know, that I met from Anaheim? So I look on the website, I get their phone number, I call him up, talk to him. I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember or not, but I met you in the line of the bathroom at Sticky Teams. I'm the guy from Alabama. Oh, yeah, I remember you. I told him what we wanted and stuff, and I said, would you be willing to come down here and give us an evaluation? Again? Yeah. 2 weeks, he's coming. I found that most people are more than willing to help you if you ask. People will help. So he's going to come down and be a blessing to our church. Proverbs 18:15 tells us this. Intelligent people are always open to new ideas. In fact, they look for them. It's a sign of intelligence. They ask questions. They listen. Too often, and I can fall in this trap too, when we talk to somebody that we ought to be learning from, we want to show them how smart we are. So we interject, you know, I do this and that and the other type. Have you ever been to a conference where you paid money to hear a well-known speaker who's been there, done that, and somebody from the audience wants to interrupt and dominate and tell how great they are and what they do? I'm sitting there going, I didn't pay to hear you. I don't want to hear you. I paid to hear that person. Look at this fill in the blank. When I'm listening, I learn when I'm listening, not talking. I learn when I'm listening, not talking. Here's your IQ test of the day. How many eyes did God give you? Okay, some of you are scaring me. This is not a trick question. This is not, if you got an eye right here, we're in trouble, all right? We're in trouble. How many ears did God give you? How many mouths did he give you? What's the correlation? You need to look and listen twice as much as you talk, okay? That type of thing, right? On that, all leaders are learners. If you are a leader in any industry, at your work, in your church, in your men's group, whatever, our ladies group, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not learning, you will not be a leader for long. All leaders are learning. I mentioned to you, I'm part of that mentoring group. I go up every month. How I wish I had had this in my life, all my life. And here's what I learn every time I go up. The more I learn, the more I realize how much I don't know. I don't know if that's just me or whatever, but that's what I'm finding. Well, I need to learn this now. I need to learn as an extension of that type of a thing. Proverbs 19:27 tells this, if you stop learning, you will forget what you already know. Do you know anybody? And if it's you, don't raise your hand. After you graduated from high school, college, you said, thank God I don't ever have to open a book for the rest of my life. You know what? For most people, it shows. It shows over time. And the Bible says you not only stop learning, you forget what you already knew. Here's the fourth way we build wisdom into our life. Remember and reinforce what you learn. I got to remember and reinforce what I learned. You can't just learn it. You got to remember it and reinforce it. It's like a home improvement project, right? You do that and you say, I'll never forget this, but you don't do it regularly and you forget it, right? How many of you you've done this at your house? You put one of these in? Got a picture for us? You ever done your own floor? Oh, yeah, look at that. And look, they're smiling. That's a lie. That is a lie. He's smiling about that. And this is not how more your home projects look in mine right here. Do you not relate to that girl right there? What do I do? What do I do? Type of a thing on that. We don't do these things enough in order to know what they are and to keep doing them. Keep doing them on that. I'm gonna jump right here very quickly to this next fill in the blank. Would you agree with this fill-in? The shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. The shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. Folks, that's why I give you these notes. That's why I give you this. Because, you know, there's two different philosophies for this. Some people say just give four major points, and that's what they remember that. I'm going, not me, man. I want to remember major points, but I want to know how you got to the major point. I want to know the background of the major point. So that's why I put you through the pain and suffering of giving you all these notes, okay? So that's why I do that. Hopefully you can go back and grab something from that. Proverbs 22, verse 17 and through 18 says this, "Listen, and I will teach you what the wise have said. Study their teachings. Study their teachings, and you'll be glad if you remember them and can quote them." You can quote it, man. You've internalized it. You've got it. You and I are going to have that opportunity for the next 6 weeks to do this together in Live Your Calling. We're going to be memorizing a verse each week. Did you know that memorizing improves your brain? It is an exercise for the brain. You get smarter when you try to memorize things. Some of you say, I can't memorize scripture. I've heard that all my life. It's amazing. The people who say they can't memorize scripture can memorize sports stats, stock market prices, birthdays. They can know about all the lyrics of the favorite songs of their, you know, famous artists and stuff like that. Look at this fill in the blank. Here's the deal. You remember what's important to you. We remember what's important to us. My first mentor in church life was an Asian woman, a Chinese woman who was 30 years older than me. And if she was not involved in my life, I wouldn't probably be here today speaking to you. She saved my bacon for the first time I ever tried to pastor. It was a disaster. But anyway, so her husband passed away recently, like last week, or actually on the 10th. They called me up and they said, they live in San Francisco. They called me up and said, would you come do the memorial service? Yeah, if I can work that, I will. Flew up Friday, yesterday, 2 days ago, and I came back last night, did the memorial service. At the memorial service, I've been gone from San Francisco for 30 years, and there were a lot of people there that I had not seen in over 30 years. People were constantly coming up to me and saying, you know, Pastor Russ, and here's what they would say, do you remember me? Please do not say that to somebody, okay? Do not say that to somebody, because chances are they look at you and say, I don't remember. Here's what you say. I don't know if you remember me or not, but I'm so-and-so, and this is how I know you. Say that, and they go, oh, then you jog their mind. They might actually remember you, type of thing. I have people coming up to me and say, Pastor Russ, I want a picture with you. I want to show my kids you're the guy that married us 32 years ago. Pastor Russ, you remember our wedding? I don't even remember who you are. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm going to, you know, some of the people I look at, and I remember their faces. I couldn't remember their names. I'm going, oh, I don't know who that is. But some of them, they say, oh, you married us. And honestly, I'm going like, no name, no face. I've done over 200 weddings. I don't know. I just don't know. One couple, as I'm trying to get out to get to the airport last night, they came up, they grabbed me and said, I've got to tell you something. And they told me their name and that type of thing. I didn't recognize the name. I didn't recognize even the face for either one of them, husband, wife. You did our wedding. Okay. The guy says this to me. He says, I don't know if you remember this or not, but when I was going through a rough patch, you pulled me aside and we met and we talked. And I remember three words you said to me. Oh, okay. I remember it was fact, faith, and feelings, and you drew a train. I went, the train diagram. I'd drawn that hundreds of times through the years to tell people that you put your faith, it's like a caboose, you put your coal in the engine, the fact of God's word, and that drives your train. Don't put it in your feelings, you just get a dirty caboose. 32 years later, God remembered that. Why? Because it mattered to him. We remember what matters to us. Memorized verses, by the way, are the best thing for overcoming temptation. If you've got an area in your life you're struggling with, if you memorize verses in that area, God has them on recall 24/7. It'll help you. If you spend a lot of time worrying, you need to remember memorize Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, pray. Oh, you memorize that and you start worrying, God's going to say, pray, pray, pray. Memorize verses. Here we go. Proverbs 4:21-22. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your hearts, for they bring life and radiant health to everyone who discerns their meaning. Here's the last way you get wisdom into your life. Now that you've heard these things, do it. Now that you've heard them, do it. Look at the fill-in. If you don't apply the Bible to your everyday life, you aren't wise. I don't care how much you know of the Bible if you don't apply it. If I wanted to lose weight and I said, you know what? I sit on my lazy boy at home. I got on a TV special about how to lose weight. I've got my salsa and chips beside me. I've got my Coke, my favorite cookies, and my favorite ice cream. And I am watching this movie. I am so inspired by watching how to lose weight. If that's all I do and I don't get off that couch, it benefits me nothing. I deceive myself, and that's what the Bible tells us we do too. Look at this in James 1:22-25. James says, don't deceive yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice. If you listen to the word but don't put it into practice, you're like people who look in a mirror and see themselves. Then they go away and at once forget what they look like. But if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free and keep on paying attention to it, not simply listening and then forgetting it, but putting it into practice, you will be blessed. Wisdom is a choice. You choose to be wise. Happiness is a choice. Being close to God is a choice. There's five ways that you can build wisdom into your life. Are you going to do anything about it? Are you going to do it now? The next 6 weeks are going to be life-changing for many people in our church family. Will you be one of them? Will you be one of those people? Last feeling goes like this. God does not bless good intentions. God blesses wise choices. Will you do the wise thing? Look at our next steps today. If you're new with us, we try not to take ourselves very seriously, but we try to take God very seriously. So we try to have some practical application of what we listen to. So look at this for the next 6 weeks. I'm asking you to make some commitments. Will you read the book? Will you read the book? Or you can listen to it as well. It's on CD. Would you read that book? Will you be in a small group? Will you be here for all six messages? Will you memorize that one verse of scripture? We're going to give you a bookmark to put in your Bible with all six verses so you can memorize it. And then finally, will you put them in practice? That's where the rubber hits the road. It's going to be a great, great experience together. Man, don't miss anything, any little bit of it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you are the source of wisdom and that you want to give it to us. Help us to do what it takes to build these habits, to do these five things into our life that will bring wisdom to us, and that we will be able to navigate our way through life so much better, with so much enjoyment. And I especially just lift up now the weeks ahead. Live your calling. God, would it be transformational in each one of our lives, not because we just hear something, but because we put it into practice in our life. Change us, God, as only you can, from the inside out, through your spirit that lives within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.